What does it look like to live your relationships with God out and through friendships? Because it's important to have friendships of all, both sexes, okay? Friendship before, what does it look like to live this out while dating? So it's really relationship-based, and so that is where we are going. Relationships are at the heart and center of who humans are and why we were created. But before we get into it, Matthew has some ground rules.
So, ground rules for this whole series. First, we're going to respect each other. Respect means that we're going to listen to each other. We're not going to necessarily try to change each other's feelings. You may not agree with all the words or actions or feelings of another person, and that's okay. We can still disagree and love each other. Respect is kind. Jesus was kind and gentle, so we're going to be kind and gentle to others as well. We have this saying here that you don't have to believe like us to belong with us. So if your words or your actions become disrespectful to others, a leader or another student can say to you, hey, please don't be rude, don't be disrespectful to this person or myself. Let's just be respectful. Sound good? The second one is confidentiality. The details that are shared in your groups need to stay in your groups. You can talk about the general topics. You can give high-level recaps to your parents if you're talking, but the details shared in your group need to stay in your group.
About that real quick, sorry to interrupt you. Your parents, if I have their email, are getting questions that we have here. That's my commitment to them. This is all recorded. They could listen because I want them to have these conversations with you as well. So if your parent brings up a question that we are discussing here, you're not like, what the heck? How did you know that? That's how they know. I'm encouraging them to talk with you about it because I think it's important. Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay. So God intended, when he created humans, for a relationship. And so to start to see why we were created with that, we're going to start at the beginning. Genesis 1, 1. So you are going to open your Bible. It should be like the first page because it's the beginning. And I am reading, to be clear, from the NIV, which is a kind of translation. You're reading from the ESV. And so the words might be a little different. It doesn't mean that someone changed God's word. It just means that they translated it differently. And some are easier to understand than others. And I prefer the NIV. And so that's what I'm reading from. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So God is going to set forth and create the world and the earth. But I need you to see something really important. And I didn't know this when I was your age. It took me to an adult to learn this. The Spirit of God was hovering. The Holy Spirit was always present at creation. And do you know who else was? Say it out loud if you know it. What? Jesus. Jesus was present. And you're like, Amanda, it doesn't say Jesus. You are correct. But in John 1:1-3 and Colossians 1:16, which I'm going to read to you, I want you to write those down. You'll talk about those in your group, is John 1:1-3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. He is Jesus. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Colossians 1:16 says, for in him, Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Okay? So even though it doesn't say it at the beginning, we know from other places in the Bible that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father were all present. Jesus was an afterthought because humans messed up creation and sinned. They were always present, and they each have their own roles. They say it's three persons in one God. It's one God, three different distinct roles. And so that's just a good thing to know as being a believer of Jesus. Okay? So let's Genesis 1 goes on, and God creates the water, he creates the sky, he puts the moon, he puts the sun, and then we get to the verse 26. So verse 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God makes man. He makes a human, male and female. And it says we are made in his image. That means that humans are not God, but we have the likeness of God. For example, my kids, they're like me in certain ways. They have certain characteristics of me. They might look like me a little bit, but they're not me. So there are three things that we can say because we're made in the image of God. There are three things that this means for us. It means that humans and God can have a relationship. We're connected. God created us because he wants to be connected with us. Number two, humans reflect who God is and how we care for ourselves and others. So there's pieces of him that we see through our creativity. Maybe the way you think. Maybe the way we show love or kindness to others. We reflect God to the people around us and in nature. We can see God's creativity in how he created certain things because we reflect him. We are made in his image. And the third thing is, because we're made in his image, we share these pieces, but that means we have worth. The God of the universe created us. And who we are is not based on what you do. It's not based on what you earn. It's not based on what you have. The God of the universe intentionally, purposefully made me at this time. The God of the universe made you intentionally and purposely at this time. And that goes for each person on this earth. God did not need to create the universe. He chose to. Why? Like, why did God create humans? This is a question that I had wrestled with for so long. And I continued, it was 2011, and I continued to wrestle with it. It was always in the back of my head. And maybe I've told you this story, I don't know. But in 2011, I saw there was a Christian concert at a church in the cities. So I got tickets and we went, and it was called The Story. And I was like, okay, well, I just told David this is a concert and this is not a concert. And so we didn't really know what it was, but here we are. What are you going to do, leave? And what it was is it was these stories from the Bible, starting in creation and to Ruth, to all these people. And there were like 10 different scenes that were put to music, but each one told the whole big story of God. And then it went dark after Jesus. And I sat there and I was like, okay, is it over? And the song continued and I found the lyrics. It said, "One day love will wear the crown. One day love set us free." And so it's the stage is like black, and slowly the letters L, O, V, E lit up in red. And it was literally this moment of like clarity. Like I was like, I get it. All we were created, it was like God speaking to you, to me, like, Amanda, you were created because of love. Like that's the answer. And as I'm going to be honest with you, I still held this tension till yesterday of like, I hear these Christian people saying, God created people for himself. And I was like, that is so selfish. I don't like that. That feels like you're like this puppeteer of like, what, he's controlling, but he's not. And so I did something that was hard for me because I'm going to teach you about love. And here I am asking this question that is so basic and so like feels like I should know it. But I did the bold thing because what I've learned is when I feel stupid and I should ask the question, y'all should ask the question. Because when you go and ask the question, you get clarity and the people that you ask want to give you the answer and they want to lead you. And my friend Eric and Betsy had this conversation. They weren't like, I can't believe you asked that. And Eric asked me a question. He goes, Amanda, why did you have kids? Great question. Why did I have kids? Okay, I was kind of an only child, but does that matter? And then I landed on this part of love. Like, I wanted to love something beyond myself. I wanted to teach another human about God and values and life, and I wanted to, like, care for something beyond just me. And I think that that's what God wants for us. He created us because he wants to care and show this love to us. And I know people have kids for different reasons. That was just mine. And like me wanting to share these things with my kids, God wants to share who he is with us. He wants to be connected with us. He wants to be close to us. He wants to support us through a relationship. That is his desire.
Part of being made in God's image means that we are relational beings, that we are designed to be connected both with God and with other people. Let's see where this is in the Bible. Amanda started us off at the beginning. That's a great place to start. So we are going to keep reading in Genesis, but we're going to go to Genesis 2. And I like to think of Genesis 2 as like another angle of how God created the world. It isn't like a new creation, but it's like a zoom in on Genesis 1. And as we read in Genesis 2, we come to this really peculiar verse in verse 18. Listen to this. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." I'm reading the ESV. The NIV will continue to be on the screen. The first thing in creation that is called not good is the fact that man, Adam, is alone. And that's really interesting because this is even before sin enters the world. So this isn't about brokenness. This isn't about sin and sin coming in, and that's the not good part. What this is communicating is that something is incomplete. See, in Genesis 1, whenever God created something and he completed it, he called it good. But now we come to this, and man being alone, Adam being alone, is the first thing that's not good. Something is missing when we are alone. Fundamentally, to be human means that we will be connected with others in relationship. Write it down. Fundamentally, to be human means that we will be connected to others in relationship. And to be clear, this does not only mean marriage. I'll give you a second to write that down. So the first man, Adam, is alone, and it is not good. Well, what happens next? We keep reading in verse 19. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So God brings all of the animals, all of the creatures to Adam, and he's trying to see, okay, can we find you a helper? I like the NIV translation, no suitable helper was found among all of creation. So man is still alone. Well, what does God do next? Let's keep reading. Verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." God created woman. And Adam is so excited because finally, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this is a suitable helper for me. And I want to back up before we even go forward and talk about what that word means, helper. Because sometimes we hear that word and we assume it means secondary or weaker or maybe even less than. But that word in the Bible is used to describe strength and essential support. It's this Hebrew word, ezer. Ezer means helper, but not in like a sidekick way, not in a side role. It is often used to describe how God helps humans. A place I think of is Psalm 121, which says, my eyes lift to the hills. From where does my ezer come from? My help come from? My ezer comes from the Lord. This word is a strong, necessary, essential support in our in our lives. And then there's another word, that the Hebrew word kenigdo, that is used to translate as suitable or fit for. And kenigdo is this like corresponding mirrored match of something. And so when we put these together, ezer, kenigdo, we get this strong, equal partner. It does not mean that women are below men. It isn't about a hierarchy, actually. It's not about who's more important. It means that they are an equal part of humanity. Adam didn't need another creature. He needed another human, another image bearer that he could stand face to face and be his equal. And this is not just about marriage. It is about how humans need each other. Yes, Adam and Eve were married, but the basic truth that is communicated in Genesis 2:18 is that it is not good for man to be alone. We are not self-sufficient. We need other humans in our lives. We need our ezer kenigdos to be complete in how God designed human life to function. There's a metaphor that the Bible uses often to describe what this looks like. It uses the example of a body. One of the places that we find it is in Romans 12. I'll flip there. It'll be on the screens. But listen to this. Romans 12:4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. It gives this picture of what being connected with others is supposed to look like. When Paul says we have many members and each member is one of another, he's saying that we all belong together, that we are connected and dependent on each other. It's this idea that if my toes are just as much a part of my body as my hands are. My eyes and my ears and my mouth all have their own functions. Not one is less important than the other. I need all of my parts to make up my body, just like we need all of us to make up the body. We are all a part of that body, connected to each other. This is the completion of human connectedness. It is not good for humans to be alone. It is good for us to be connected to one another. We are designed to be connected to others and to God. And Jesus shows us that love is how those connections are meant to work. Another place we're going to turn, I'll turn, is Mark 12. And in Mark 12, Jesus is asked this question of, hey, Jesus, what's like the most important commandment? What are we supposed to do to follow God? And this is the answer he gives. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus tells us what is most important, to love God, to love others. All relationships flow out of this command. And in this series, we're going to ground ourselves in love. Love for God and love for others. So last month in Jonah, we challenged you to memorize Jonah 4:2. This month, we are going to challenge you to memorize Mark 12:30 and 31. This is a simple way to think about it. Love God, love others. But it's the verse that we just read. Because this verse is going to ground everything that we talk about over the next 4 weeks. What does it look like to love God and love others? Specifically, how do we love God in our singleness? How do we love God in our friendships while we're dating other people? And then how do we love others in those things? How do we love others in our singleness? How do we love others in friendships and in dating? From the beginning, God created us for to be connected with him and with others. And Jesus shows us that love is the way that those relationships are meant to work. We're going to end our time with prayer, but before we get there, one thing that we've done before is a take two, just a chance for you to kind of sit with what we've talked about. And the question that we're going to have you sit with today is based on everything that we've talked about. What does God want you to know about relationships? What does God want you to know about being in relationship with him, about being in relationship with others? We're going to sit with this, and what this is going to look like. It's not a time for you to talk with your neighbor. It's not a time to pull out your phones. You can sit there with your eyes closed. You can journal, but we're just going to be quiet for a couple minutes and just kind of sit with that question and see what the Lord is bringing to your mind. So I'm going to pray and then give you a few moments. Father, you created us because you love us. You created us to be your image bearers, to know you and to reflect you to creation, to reflect you to each other. And over the next 3 weeks, would you teach us how to love you and how to love others practically, of how that works in our lives, whatever stage we are in, whether we're single, in our friendships, whether we're dating. Would you show us what it looks like to love you and love others? As we go to small groups, would your spirit be present with us? Would we grow closer to each other, grow closer to you? And Lord, as we now sit, would you bring to mind what you want us to know, what you want us to take away? Spirit, we ask that you would be stirring in our hearts and stirring in our minds. In the name of Jesus. All right, you guys can head to small groups, but I want you to go out those doors.
Quietly.
Quietly.
You're going to go quietly out those doors. If you want to come back for a game, come back at
7:35.
If you want to stay in your small group, you can, because there should be a space for everyone. Okay? So those are your choices. Go out that door, though. Please and thank you.